That is such a beautiful and powerful song, written by our own Jeff Bumgardner and performed there by Merge Choir at First Baptist Church in North Augusta. And I want to read something to you that will help bring to life even more the discussion that I'm having with Dr. Cutchins. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, something that so many saints are aware of. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. There's more that follows that, but that is something that means so much to so many. And unfortunately, not enough of us follow through deeply enough to understand how to apply 1 Peter 3:15. I really appreciate you, Dr. Cutchins, for having written the book, Prove It. You talk us through it. You break it down for us. I appreciate that so much. Before we go more into some of the principles that you have in the book, though, I'd love to give everybody an opportunity to get to know more about Dr. Stephen Cutchins. So if you could take us to the beginning, tell us
the
a
beginning.
Little bit about your childhood.
Okay.
Yeah. And especially some of those shaping events.
Sure.
Talk us through what led you to make that decision to, number one, go to college, and number two, to get the degrees that you actually got. Dr. Cutchins, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is currently working on his PhD in leadership. He already has a doctoral degree in ministry. So this man knows what it is to be well prepared in many ways. One of the things that has really impressed me about you is how you take everything back to God and not to degrees. Stephen, what do you think?
Well, I think what you're describing, Carl, is that I'm educated past my potential is really what we're talking about here. And you're on your way to that, too. You're fixing to start a doctorate of ministry as well. Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so I'm
right.
Excited for what's going on in your life as well. But, yeah, man, I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, moved to South Carolina. My father was in education, graduated from high school and went into college preparing to be a teacher. Following my dad's footsteps, which I did. I was a public school teacher for about 4 or 5 years and then kind of had a non-traditional track into the local church, and then I just kind of got hired to do some part-time work at a church through a friendship I had made in my master's program. I did a master's in education while I was teaching at night, you know, and on the weekends, and met some people there that got me connected with a church that needed a music leader, so I did some of that, and then also got connected with the youth ministry. And so that's really where this whole story of defending the faith collides for me was, you know, I got into youth ministry and was being asked some questions that I just was not prepared to answer, you know. And I grew up in a church, and I don't, you know, I was getting kicked out of Sunday school a lot when I was a kid, so I don't blame my home church at all. But my church experience and the way I chose to experience church just did not prepare me for the questions that were going to come at me, not only as an adult Christian in the culture I was living in. At the time, I was in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. But even further than that, stepping into a ministry position where I had young people that were dealing with questions in a new type of culture, in a new type of America, different America than what I grew up in, I just wasn't ready. And, you know, I had to find a way to get some of those answers. And that's what got me connected with Southern Evangelical Seminary up in Charlotte and a man named Dr. Norman Geisler, who's written well over 100 books on defending the faith and answering the hard questions that people have. And so I just reached out to him one day. I just found out that he was living in Charlotte. I had no idea. I was using one of his books, and I talk about this in my book, actually, this story. I was teaching from a book that I had found that seemed to have some of the answers to the questions that the kids were asking, and I saw this guy's name, Dr. Norman Geisler, and just found out from his bio he was living right there in Charlotte, maybe 30 minutes away from where I was, on the other side of town, and reached out to him and just kind of expected him to blow me off. I mean, this guy's a giant of our faith. Yeah. But I reached out and said, man, I'd love to connect with you. I'm using your book. I got some questions that I'd like to have answered and just pick your brain about. So he took me out to Applebee's in Pineville, North Carolina, right in South Charlotte. We sat. He paid. I mean, it was just a great, we sat there for several hours, and at the end of it, you know, he was on the faculty, and I think he was serving as the president, I think, at that time, of Southern Evangelical Seminary, which he helped co-found, he was a co-founder of it there in Charlotte. So I started taking classes with this guy, and just really began to dive in pretty deeply to not only the questions that I was being asked, but some of the ones that I was asking myself. You know, you asked me what it is that made me kind of track this down. And, you know, backing up to when I was growing up, about the time I was in middle school, my father was diagnosed with kidney failure. So he was on dialysis for years, worked for a long time while he was dealing with this illness. Eventually, he retired on disability. And about 2 weeks before I graduated from college, he passed away. And so this was a very difficult situation. You know, anytime you lose someone in your life, it's hard. You know, yeah. It takes you it kind of like a punch in the gut. You know, it just kind of takes your breath away. And, of course, my father and I had a great relationship growing up, and we were very close. Because of his illness, you know, looking back on it, I got to spend maybe a little more time with him than even my older brother and sister did, who were already out of the house because he wasn't home more. And so I got to know him. And then so when he passed, it was very difficult. It was a very difficult loss for me. And so the biggest question I started struggling with wasn't, you know, a question of whether truth exists or anything, because I knew he was truly gone and I was truly hurting. My question was the question of, you know, if this God it really exists, and he's so good, and he's so powerful, and he's knowledgeable of all the, you know, everything I've been taught. He's all good and all powerful and all knowing. Then why didn't he do something about this? Why didn't he stop my father from dying at a young age? You know, why didn't he step in? And why wasn't there a miracle? And, you know, we did all this praying and nothing. You know, it just seemed like that we didn't get a healing. We didn't get a miracle or whatever you want to call it. And so if this God is all knowing, then he knew how to heal my dad. If he was all powerful, he had the power to do it. And if this God that we worship, Carl, is all good, then it seems like he would want to do that. And yet, my father still died. And so I sat as a young man and pondered on this, really just really hurt through it and grieved through it for a long time. And it wasn't until years later when I became a youth pastor, it's probably 4 or 5 years later, when I started realizing that this was really an unresolved issue between me and God. I wasn't close to him at all because I wasn't really sure. You know, and people ask me all the time, you ever doubt your faith? And the answer is absolutely. I doubt my faith all the time. But I also was dealing with further than that. I was dealing with a real question of how do I resolve this, not only in my heart, but in my mind? How can this God really exist? And Dr. Geiser helped me find some of those answers. And so that was my journey and my background to this. And that's what I deal with. The last three chapters in my book are dedicated to answering those questions. You know, where did evil come from? I mean, where did it start? And then further, why didn't God step in and do something about it? And lastly, why didn't he just wipe all the evil out? And each one of those questions is answered in my book, and it's something that was a journey for me, a journey.
And so much of your journey is so common to so many other people. I don't know if a lot of people are willing to admit that there are times when they doubt their faith. But I know that there are quite a few people who have been willing to admit that. Our guest, helping us walk through this phase of the journey at a time when hostility, violence, malice is building up right here in America the Beautiful. 65% of the population saying there is no such thing as truth. Where do you stand with regards to truth? Where do you stand with regards to your ability, your willingness, your readiness to defend the faith that you say you love? Dr. Cutchins and I will be right back. He'll talk us through this process some more.